keeps raining.
Moms and dads, hello there, boys, girls, moms and dads, children of all ages. What do you know? It's time for another Radio Tarpon Talk, or Tarpon Talk Radio. We're going to talk about tarpon. Fish and Frank in the chair here. We got Robert in the chair across from me, and we have Captain Kale with us. And we're going to try and discuss the meaning of tarpon, the insight of tarpon, the theory of tarpon. We're just going to talk about where they're hitting and why they're hitting. But other than that, the rest of it all sounded very id, very zen. I was kind of, you know, impressed with all that myself. Okay, guitar, shut up, goodbye, thank you. All right,
here we go. Gonna say that sounded pretty technical and pretty in-depth.
Oh, I was feeling the zen, feeling the mood. I was in touch with my inner tarpon.
See, I was feeling that the other day until I actually started taking a class. And now I realize that I'm just very, very, very bad at learning.
You were taking a class?
I'm taking an online shark class.
Online shark class.
And I'm realizing, number one, I'm really bad with computers. But number two, I'm just, whew, I now feel very silly.
Wait a minute. You can't see a computer screen. How the heck are you taking
online? Blowing it up as big as it'll possibly go and reading two lines at a time.
I was going to say, how the hell are you seeing a computer screen?
I've got it blown up to letters that are about an inch long, and it goes across the screen and just very slow and tedious.
I was going to say that would make it almost impossible to do an online learning class, trying to read it the way you have to read it.
Yeah, you've forgotten what you read in the line before it by the time you get to the next line blown up.
Yep.
Why don't you put it on your TV?
I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
Yeah, it's
I know a guy.
HDMI cable.
Yeah.
You should plug right in. But the other thing is, you should be able to just highlight it and have it tell you what's on it. You should be able to talk it.
Yeah.
It should be able to say what's on there.
Yeah, but there's like family trees and origins and everything else that you got to look at.
Okay. And this has what to do with tarpon fishing, my
buddy,
my pal, my friend.
You started going to theology and biology and...
But I was talking about tarpon. Now you're talking about online shark fishing studies by a blind guy on a computer.
Yeah.
You get no sympathy
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Reed
man.
Richards couldn't make that stretch.
Yeah, I was like...
I didn't want to get that deep into the tarpon.
All right.
Yeah, he was afraid he'd have to take another class.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could take a class on staying on topic. That's my job, to be ridiculous.
Squirrel.
Yes. Oh, look at that. It's shiny. Okay. All right. We're back. This is such as we ever are. We're talking about tarpon here. It's July 4th. So let's say you've read all our stuff and you're heading up to the fireworks to be safe. Kale, Robert and I were talking about the effects the loud banging of some of the fireworks would have on the tarpon. Do you think that's going to run them off? Do you think it's going to make any difference?
I think it will. And I don't think it'll just be the loud bangs. There's going to be a lot of boat traffic in the upper harbor today because of it and after it. I think all of that is probably going to have an effect on it. I mean, I'm always surprised at how much of an effect a thunderstorm will have on a tarpon and what it will do to them.
That's what Robert and I were talking about.
It's amazing how much it affects them.
Yeah.
Our redfish don't get up and run away. Our snook don't get up and run away. But those tarpon will go 30 miles offshore to avoid it. And it's amazing that they do that. And I think that the fireworks and all that motion and commotion, and you've got 1,000, I got to be nice, 1,000 people swimming across the harbor today.
Well, we got
for
a good chunk
to do. And it's, yeah. I think all that commotion is going to have an effect on them.
I'm for the freedom swim.
This is probably
I think it's cool.
Yeah, this is probably not the night to be fishing the 41 bridge for tarpon.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of people doing their best to consume as much alcohol as possible going across there. So
yeah,
although I don't think they're allowed to drink, and I don't think they are drinking. They wouldn't consume alcohol while frolicking in the water trying to.
You couldn't
swim
get me
across
to drink enough liquor it would require for me to swim across that harbor.
Yeah, I gotta admit that would take. I think that one jug over there I've got that homemade. I think it would take that to get me to jump in the water and swim across there.
Nope.
You know, it all started.
The good
out
news is cool. It's going to take enough that it's going to make me physically impossible for it to be done. So it's not going to matter.
Either way, it's not going to go. I might do it. You know, I've waded across the river, waded, swam across for one reason or another, and some of the jobs I've had, I've walked most of the darn river at one point or another. But I've never partaken in the Freedom Swim. I think it's really cool that people do. I think it's a great idea. I think that if you haven't done it, you know, just get yourself a rubber life raft or something. You want something to hang on to because it's a good mile and a half or better.
It's a long swim.
It's a lot further than you think.
Yeah, it's a long swim.
You want something so you can kind of kick and paddle and stroll your way across. And I would say something with cup holders so you have iced beverages.
It's far enough to swim from one side of the river to the other right there at the 41 Bridge, but you're not swimming to the 41 Bridge. You're starting at the 41 Bridge and ending way over at Fisherman's Village.
Yeah.
That's a long way to swim.
I guess that'd probably be a two-mile swim.
It's up there. It's about a mile and a half. Mile and three quarter.
Yeah.
It's way longer than I physically plan on swimming ever in my life.
Yeah, well, with my physical attributes at the moment, I mean, I'm all taped up. I look like I'm some kind of tribal leader at this point with all these markings on me.
I did the mile swim in Boy Scouts when I was young and stupid. And even then, a quarter mile into it, I said, yeah, this merit badge just ain't worth it.
Oh, no, not me. I was really into it. I used to swim. I was... swim team the whole bit.
I lived in on and under the water, but nope, there's just no sense in this.
All right, so as we said, Robert, your turn to say it.
I'm not swimming in the water.
Well, we knew that, but I gave you your shot to say, what the hell does this all have to do with tarpon? Get back on topic. You know, we're 7 minutes in, we haven't spoke about tarpon. Hang on just a second. Okay, a slight interruption, now we're back. And anyway, talking about tarpon up there, I still think there is a shot at catching some tarpon. But we were talking about it, and unless you're on the edge of the boats, away from everything, and even then it's still a little tricky, bottom fishing is going to be the bet if you're out there around all the fireworks and other boats and stuff. So, you know, and to me, fishing for tarpon over there, if you were one of the boats up by the bridge, but I think if you're too close to the bridge, you're not going to be able to see the fireworks effectively. But, all right, let's forget about that for a minute. What's been going on Boca Grande Pass with the tarpon?
They've been out there first thing in the morning, right at first light. So I'm imagining they're out there throughout the nighttime. But by like 7, 8 o'clock, they're kind of disappearing.
They're going up on the hill, out to the beaches?
A few fish are going up on the hill, and some are going out onto the beaches, but they're really spreading out thin. You know, I'm not even hearing of a good number of fish over there by, between Boquilla and Bull Bay. They're just very scattered. Small, small schools of fish.
So, in other words, it would actually be more to my liking. You've got a few fish, you know, you find a school of a few fish, and you're going to be able to target them. You're not going to have as much competition for them.
Right.
Because as the tarpon thin out, you're trying to make it sound gloom and doom. And
no.
To me, it's just, yes, you are. And to me, it's exactly the opposite. This is when the tarpon get a little thinner. The boats are a lot thinner. You're not having to compete for the fish as much. You can find a small school, work that school, try and get ahead of them, get your baits out, rather than trying to, you know, fight eight other boats to go out and get them. So to me, it sounds actually a better.
Well, that's true. But it is kind of doom and gloom in the pass. But it should be. This is the time where they're leaving the pass and going elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, July is historically pretty much the pass fishing's over by July.
Yeah, I think Robert's doom and gloom for the pass is well-deserved.
Well, yeah, but he's just kind of doom and gloom anyway, so we're not going to let him get away with that.
We'll see if he cheers up once we get up around Cape Hayes and above.
Okay. Maybe that he'll cheer up. Yes. All right. So, anyway, more tarpon along the beaches as you go north.
Yes.
It seems like as you get further down, there are tarpon in Punta Rasa, good night fishing for tarpon and that. And some daytime, but then it seems like your better shot is from Boca Grande North. Along the beaches of Sanibel, Captiva and stuff, there are some tarpon there, but it's down considerably compared to what you get north of
Boca Grande.
Yeah. I think that's a water quality and a bait issue.
It might be. I don't know. I mean, every year it gets pretty dark down there. It's just this year, for some reason, it's gotten a little funky that, you know, from Captiva Pass south, there's fewer fish in general. You know, but once you get above Boca Grande, and particularly the north end of Boca Grande, right just south of Gasparilla, and work your way north, there's more and more fish up there. And, you know, the water quality might have something to do with it, but it's smaller groups of fish, but more numbers of groups. And good news is a lot less boat pressure on them. You know, so it's definitely more consistent catches of fish, too, up there.
Yeah, I think it's all pretty good. Now, along the beaches, thread fins, a little bit of cut bait. I would say the Rapala subwalk would be a great one to take out there for artificials. DOA bait busters, of course, the Storm Swim Shads. Any particular colors going better than others out there?
Not really. Nothing's really patterned itself on any of those hard baits or soft baits. You know, most of the guys seem to be sticking more towards the consistent natural colors, the silver black back, silver green back, and then of course the root beer gold glitter has always been the best seller.
I would say as you get down from Boca going south, I'd be doing more root beer, but Boca north, I think the natural colors are going to be a little better bet. Your white, right, and green, black and white, silver black, you know, stuff like that. But as you go south of Boca, getting towards Captiva, Redfish, Punta Rasa, I'm going to go along with the root beer because you've got a lot more outflow of dark water. And so the water's going to be a little murkier, a little darker color. It'll stand out better.
Right. I'll agree with that.
Coming up on the ICW behind Sanibel and Captiva and that, around Captiva Rocks, it's pretty consistent, but it's kind of an anchor up weight. When you see them, you know, have a couple baits out, but then when you see them, cast some artificials at them. Or a lot of the guys over there, the big tarpon groups that use 4-aught reels and big chunks of bait, and they just sit and wait for them.
Yeah, they love throwing out their catfish tails and just waiting for them down there.
And
it works very, very well. You don't make yourself crazy running all over the place trying to find those fish. You just wait for them to come to you. They're coming throughs and in doubles and triples pretty consistently.
So if I was going to look, there's not much for some reason between Captiva and Boca on that section of ICW. The tarpon have to go through there, but it's not very consistent on the catching part of it. You really got to kind of get north of USAPA, you know, right, midway up Cayo Costa before you really start seeing them, and then you're almost right onto the hill.
Right.
So up on the hill, like as we were talking about, there's a lot of scattered fish, smaller bunches, twos, fives, tens, not the schools of 20, 30, and 50 that there was a while ago. But as I said, in my opinion, that makes it a little better for me because you're not going to have the boats and the pressure. People are going to be scattered from hell to breakfast looking for where these tarpon are.
Right.
Now, the best tarpon fishing right now, I would say, would have to be up in the harbor. Cale, have you been up in the harbor recently?
Yeah, I spent most of last week up in the harbor. I think 2 days ago was probably the best day I've seen for tarpon in the harbor in a while. They were rolling pretty much steady from the top of the upper hole to out in front of Ponce Park. Sure. There were hundreds of them rolling out there. Everywhere you looked, there were tarpon rolling.
Very cool. What were they biting on? Anything?
They're starting to look and run those tide lines. We're starting to get the glass minnows are starting to flush out. Those glass minnows, they come across those tide lines, and it's kind of like a brick wall to them. They won't swim through it. So they'll gather on those tide lines.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name of the phenomenon is, but the water literally rolls horizontally there. The fresh water coming pushes and then rolls up at that point, and the salt water there is rolling, and right, you get two, like picture rolls of carpet spinning in opposite directions right there.
Yeah.
Now, it's moving in a direction, so the water's being pulled down at that point. Am I correct?
I mean, from what I've read before, yes.
Right. Now, what's funny about it is you are going to have saltier more salty water on one side of the tide line and fresher water on the other side because of the flows of the river.
Right.
And it's weird, but it can happen in salt and salt or fresh and salt, but this just happens to be freshwater, saltwater division line. I mean, it's a true dividing line. What do you look for when you see a tide line? How do people look and actually identify what is a tide line?
You'll see...
Is it like a blue line like they show in the hockey games?
No. What you'll see
like
is...
Like football. This is the 10-yard goal, you know.
Looks like a foam line.
Sometimes you'll see the foam. This is right now, because it is a salt and fresh mix, you'll almost always see that foam line. It almost looks like the bubble trail from an outboard running down the harbor. But it's going to be dirty. You may see the grass that's floating on the harbor right now in a straight line. That'll help you identify it.
But it's a longer line. It's not like one that's 25 feet or 100 feet.
These are going to go for miles.
It's pretty much, when you look at it, it's almost covering the breadth of the harbor.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you're going to see several of them out there. If it's a clear day and there's no wind out there, they're a little tough to see, but if you look close at the water, you'll see the difference. You might have a little bit of ripple here, and then it's completely flat to the left of it, and it'll look like a straight line of that, and that's your tide line also.
Okay.
Those glass minnows ball up, the ladyfish, the catfish come to feed on those, the tarpon come to feed on all of it.
And the tarpon cross the tide lines easily. They don't notice the difference as where the glass minnows, the fish we're talking about there are basically from a 16th of an inch long up to about 3 or 4 inches long.
Right.
They're very skinny, very light in weight, and are very affected by currents and water flow and upflow and all that kind of stuff. And it would be like us going into a giant whirlpool or something. So they're going to try and avoid that just for health reasons, but it does bunch them on one side of that tide line, and that's what makes it more attractive for the fish to be there.
Right.
Whether it's tarpon or shark or catfish or bluefish or mackerel, most fish are going to work those tide lines because they know it bunches the bait, and you got a lot of foam on top of there, a lot of quite often the scum or the foam, but that acts as shade, and it's almost in some instances as good as a weed line for helping keep fish there.
Yeah,
and people
hidden
don't,
structure.
Yeah, it's the unknown weed line of sorts, because it does create shade. It's on one side or the other of the tidal flow, but that's a great place to find your fish when you're looking for them through the upper harbor. Now, Robert, what's your best bet, bait wise and rig wise, for those tarpon up here in the harbor?
I'm gonna definitely try to use some thread fins and ladyfish if I can get them. But probably one of my more favorite techniques is storm swim bait or a bait buster. One under a bobber and then one in my hand ready to cast to any fish that I potentially see rolling or feeding.
So two rods. One, you're going to put a DOA bait buster or storm swim shad and tie that to the line. How far below the float are you going to put it?
About 3 or 4 feet.
See, I'm more for 5 or 6, but 3 or 4 feet. Now, what you're doing with this is you cast it out, you get it out away from the boat, you put the rod in the rod holder. Now, any slight wave action or anything is going to bounce the bobber up and down, and seeing as how the jig is tied to the bobber, it's called bobber jigging. And let the natural wave action and stuff do the work for you. And then your other rod you have in your hand. Now, the one that I put in the rod holder is the heavier of my two,
yes,
usually.
Yes, definitely.
Let's say if we're talking Star Stellar Lights, it's a 30-pound class, and the one in my hand would be a 20 or 25-pound.
So yeah, but I would probably be doing a boat rod style rod in the rod holder, just because it's going to have the gimbal on it the whole 9 yards. Versus I'd be doing a regular Stellar Light with, you know, just a heavy action spinning regular.
So you're going to use like a 7-foot trolling rod with a conventional reel on it?
No, I'd throw a big spinning reel on it. I'd like the bait runner style reel on the Star Stellar boat or the Bill Fisher 17 to 40 live bait rod. Still a nice soft tip, but it's just a heavy e-glass rod, essentially.
So you're looking for just something dead power. You want to be able to just rear back and pull real hard.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you could use a conventional, whether it's a 4-aught or a 30 or whatever else. And if you're going to use a conventional in this aspect, what I would do is to get your float out, I would put the line on the clicker and put the bobber in the water and then just set the boat at idle and then just pull line out, right, idling away from the bobber until it's sufficient distance away, and then just leave it set till the fish hits it.
Cast that puppy.
Yeah, cast it.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to cast it. It would be easy if we had 2 to 4 ounces of lead on it where you could, you know, actually throw it. But with just a thread fin and a float on there, there's not enough weight to drag that line off the spool.
But right. I'm still, if I can use a conventional, well, I'm going to use it. Anything I can do to put it in my advantage, I'm going to do that.
Well, that's the reason they don't make cranes in the style of a spinning reel, because the line comes up, makes a 90-degree turn, and you really reduce the power. If the line's coming straight off the spool and straight out the spool, you have a much better flow of line, a lot more power. But it's so hard to cast a conventional when there's no weight on it.
Right.
Right.
So there's your two ways. You can just toss your spinning rod out with the bait runner option. Now, bait runner is a dual drag reel. Has one drag for fighting the fish and a rear drag in the back with a switch that allows you to go from waiting for the bite, setting it like a adjustable tension clicker, and the fish takes off, you pick it up, turn the handle, and automatically clicks back into the fighting drag.
You get all the advantages of your conventional in the convenience of a spinning reel.
Exactly. Well said. Okay. Now, so you've got the one in your hand, Robert, and you're going to cast a tarpon with that.
Yeah. Yeah. As I see a fish roll or come up and pop at some bait, or simply just if I'm seeing fish kind of semi-concentrated in an area, I'm going to cast into that area and just kind of blind fish it, and I'm going to slowly jig it back to me. But I'm doing real long high sweeps with the rod, bringing the rod up and then slowly lowering it down as that bait is slowly falling down into the water column, then lifting it back up.
So on your retrieve, you're kind of doing, that's kind of the technique they like. I cast it out, when I see it hit the water, I count to about 5, I start reeling slowly, and I put a big lift to the tip of my rod and reel down slowly, and then another big lift to the rod and reel down slowly, yeah, allowing that bait to come up and go down in the water column, you know, like a fish darting up and down.
Right, trying to figure out where they're at in that strike zone, because sometimes they're going to hit it way up high on the surface, other times they're going to hit it as it's dropping.
Now, Kale, what do you think? Is that the same technique you use, or are you using something different?
I kind of use the same stuff. I just use it at different times.
All right.
If I find a pot of tarpon that several people are on, I'll usually look and see what they're doing. If they've got a whole bunch of bobbers out behind everybody and nobody's catching fish, I'm probably going to start with thread fins free lined. Or I may put one under a bobber, I may put one free lined out. Or I may go something completely stupid and go catfish tails on the bottom. I do like Robert's bobber jigging. I usually don't do that until later in the afternoon. You've got more boat traffic, the wind is kicked up, you actually have waves out there to work it. Because this last few weeks, that water has been glass calm in the morning.
Yeah, I know that bobber jigging doesn't work well when it's glass calm like that.
I'll disagree.
You like it, okay?
I'll disagree with it.
Great for drifting. Great for drifting.
Go ahead, Robert.
It's worked for me so many different conditions, calm, windy, drifting, anchored. Obviously you get more hits when you're drifting out there with a little bit of wind because you're covering a lot more ground, but I've had them hit it on literally those days where there's not a breath of air in there, your balloon won't even float away, and it works. So I don't know why, don't have any explanation to say that it's great, bad, or indifferent to this, other than it's always been a consistent worker for me.
Okay, so there's two schools of thought. And one of the things when you're doing this kind of fishing is, Kale kind of had a great observation on that, where watching what other people do, if it's not working, you may want to do something else. And what Robert says is it's worth the shot. Just have it out there, because what the heck, it may work.
Yeah.
And it's worked time and time again.
The bobber jigging in itself is something different. Most people aren't out there doing that.
I'm going to agree. on both sides of the issue, because I think the bobber jigging, as Kale said, is much more effective when there's waves and water action to bounce the bobber, which bounces the bait. I think it's more effective. But on the other hand, like Robert says, hey, what the heck? It works, and I'd rather have a shot than no shot.
Right.
So, and if I don't have the bait. Now, one thing I don't think is a problem getting bait out there, because you've got so many thread fins, so many catfish, so many of species that it is legal to cut up and use for bait.
Right.
Getting bait, fresh bait, whether it's dead bait or live bait, shouldn't be an issue right now, is it?
No, not from what I'm hearing from everybody and what I see going over the 41 bridge.
No, I've had no problem getting thread fins. And then more towards the afternoon, you'll start seeing the ladyfish making themselves better known. They're actually starting to school up and strike on the surface in the upper harbor, bayshore area to Grassy Point is going to be a good place to look for those ladyfish in the afternoon. Don't leave those ladyfish. Catch one, put it back on the hook, and put it back out there. We were sitting there the other day, and I thought, no, let's get some ladyfish while they're here. So I threw the 17 MR and hooked a ladyfish, and as soon as I hooked it, a tarpon hit it and tore it off the hook. So they're going to be after those ladyfish, too.
I got to tell you, it's the one thing I truly love about Charlotte Harbor. You go out and you hook a trout or a ladyfish or a Spanish mackerel, and you're bringing it in, and it's fun, you're having a good time, and then all of a sudden, something 150 pounds comes up and just
comes flying out of the water on.
And yeah, next thing you know, now you went from fighting a 3-pound fish to 150 pound fish, and it all happens in a matter of about a second and a half. It's not really that quarter second, because all of a sudden, here you have this fish on, and then all of a sudden, it takes a second or so for your brain to realize, oh my God, this is
right.
This just happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I didn't get lucky enough to catch the tarpon. All I got back was a set of ladyfish lips.
So,
it's still exciting, though, when it crushes it like
absolutely.
That. It freaks you out.
All right. Well, guys, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Kale in his spot over there. As you look at the picture, Kale's got the green shirt, Robert the orange shirt, and me, of course, properly attired without sleeves.
Where's the tape?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not tribal in that picture. It's an older picture. Let's see.
It's gotten so bad we have to tape them together.
Yeah. Kale asked me, he said, what, they finally duct tape you together to hold you up? I said, yep. So anyway, let's see. We've got lots of stuff going on. We're going to ICAST here in a little while. We're going to be doing a whole show about that. I'm going to try and get a recorder so I can get some interviews with people at the ICAST so we can broadcast it out. I've already been talking to two. I think a third company came on board, because let's face it, right now there's a lot of deals on the net. And for as far as reels go,
yeah,
rods, lures, everything were as well or better priced than anybody in the world. But, you know, we have been, not competing as well as we could have been with the internet. And that will change as of August. By August, you're not going to be able to go anywhere, internet or not, and really get any kind of better deals.
Good.
We have commitments from two firm commitments and a third and fourth on the 50-50 line. But one thing we've kind of let ourselves get a little beaten by them, but that won't happen after August. By August, by the time we open our new store and everything, our real prices will be as good as what you want to find anywhere, and we have corporate commitment behind that to help make it happen. So that's kind of good news. Now what I want to do is take a last shot at Kale, your best tarpon advice for this week.
Watch that upper harbor. With as many tarpon as I've been seeing in the upper harbor, I think that's the place to be. You have a lot of water to cover. and it's going to change throughout the day where they're at. So you are going to have to move. You are going to have to stay on top of them.
What about binoculars? Does that help out there?
I have a pair on the boat. I use them all the time. I get into that drift of tarpon. I can see where the end is, you know, where the end of that school is, where they stop rolling. I know when to stop and quit wasting my time and go back for another drift or to move completely. Morning, I think, is going to be where it's at. Not so much for the bite being better, but it's easier to find them rolling before that wind, afternoon wind kicks up.
Okay.
Watch your bait pods. Watch them for a couple minutes. See if anything's coming up into them. See if anything's hitting them. If you're seeing those schools of ladyfish frothing, be ready for tarpon to come hit them. This is a time of year where they're going to start swimming through those schools of glass minnows with their mouths open. You eat enough M&Ms, you will get full. So they will eat those tiny little glass minnows.
It's and like eating rice. There. You don't eat one grain of rice. You eat a bowl full of rice.
You eat a bowl full of it.
Yes.
So, and there's no different with them and the glass minnows.
Okay. Now, Robert, your best tarpon advice for this, same thing, different?
Similar. You know, the only difference is that, you know, I'm going to go fishing in the mornings and try to stay out till, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock till it gets too miserable hot. And then come back in for the day until those thunderstorms roll through, especially if they're in the early afternoon, and try to get out there right after they roll past. Because by that time, the sea breeze lays down, and you can see virtually everywhere because the harbor becomes glass. And a lot of times, right after those thunderstorms roll through, those tarpon really go into some major feeding patterns. And I'm going to get out there and do that. Plus, the other thing you can do a lot easier is you can troll for tarpon. You know, you can run your outboard and just real lightly troll down the center of the harbor and blind fish for the fish, because there's nobody out there to interfere with. You don't have to worry about spooking other people's fish or getting run over and having your lures taken away by other boat traffic
or catfish.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think you're still, even
you're still
trolling
gonna catch
lures,
catfish.
You're still going to catch catfish. I just don't think you can get away with it. But
You can cover a lot of ground, and you'll find.
I will admit, I'll give you points for you're going to catch less.
There is nothing. There's no more of a bigger letdown in the world than having that dual drag spinning reel take off, and it's catfish.
Yeah, you go all of a sudden
fishing.
Yeah,
nothing. I would rather have my soon-to-be wife leave me at the altar than go through that.
Darn.
And it's a catfish.
Darn.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I've been out there many times with that. But, you know, it's... you must sit there and, you know... So, anyway, I'm going to go along with... I do enjoy the upper harbor fishing, but I'm gonna probably, if you have the opportunity, catch that last end of the beach fishing. I'm going to go along with that. The water's a little prettier. It's nice out there in the mornings, and if you can get out along the beaches in the morning, that would be where I'm gonna take advantage of those last shots, because as we've said a few times over the show, it's gonna pretty much slow down and end pretty soon along the beaches, and you are gonna have the harbor to fish with, some of the intercoastals and the harbor and all that, and there's just really going to be almost no fish on the beaches. And so with that coming to an end, I'm going to go back to, as I said on the last program, I'm still going to work that beach. Just something a little different. I'm going to have my Rapala Subwalk, my DOA Baitbuster, Storm Swim Shad, try and find some thread fins or ladyfish, and I'm going to work the beaches on that last hurrah, just because I enjoy the scenery, and hopefully the water's clearing up a little bit. But as you get north, as you head north up towards Venice, the water is a lot clearer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to take advantage of the blue water while I still can for my tarpon fishing. And on a fallback, you know, if I really was more interested in catching tarpon, I'm going to go along with Robert and Kale and say the harbor is the place to be. But I'm going to combine the relaxation of being on the Gulf, blue waters, the morning sun, the whole bit, with going along the beaches with not as good a shot at catching my tarpon, but I'm going to use it as a mental therapy tarpon trip.
There you go.
So
I'm still a fan of nighttime fishing. So
Well, we'll get into that on the next show, but I think for right now, I think we're going to call this. Yes, our producer is making noise, so.
He's waving in the window.
Waving in the window, yes. In our studio audience here, in our studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor. Yeah, Bubba, we here. Okay. Anyway, guys, boys and girls, moms and dads, and kids of almost any indeterminate age, and presidential candidates, if they're smart enough to listen, good luck to you. God, we're going to need it. Oh, gosh. Anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Kale. And you guys have a great holiday and great week. July is going to be a great month to be in Florida in the mornings.
Yes.
In the mornings. See you on the next Radio Tarpon Talk, Tarpon Fishing, whatever this was. Okay, bye.